Glory. I've been led to a scripture before we even get started. 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. We'll be coming out of the rest shortly. Yes. It's a good 6 weeks to die. But it's okay. Because he's preparing us for something awesome. I'm going to tell you right now, awesome. You know, again, one of the things that the Lord is bringing us through everything is because he's trying to bring himself in everything. You know, one of the things I find more and more and more, that flesh book is such a stumbling block to people. So, and sometimes it's hard to communicate with people because I'm not a person that looks for a flesh book to get information from other people. So if you want to get a hold of me, you better either call me, message me, or email me. Other than that, I'm going to miss it. And if I miss it, so be it. So in this, I'm asking everyone to make sure that Carolyn or Vivian has your email and everything else so that when we do things, we don't have to worry about flesh book and you're not seeing it. Amen? But I can tell you one of the things the Spirit was sharing with me today says, you know, I'm bringing everybody through this because people need to get their life off of flesh book. Get your life off of flesh book, man. Who cares what your opinion is? Get it off. Amen? You got anything to say, it better be a scripture. That's it. Do not place your opinions on flesh book. It makes you look like an idiot. I'm going to tell you right now. And what right do you have to give anyone your opinion anyway? Amen? We're to be steadfast in the power of Christ. That's it. Don't express all of your problems on flesh book. I mean, my goodness. You're just giving the world, the demonic realm, access to you. We're supposed to be shutting the door to the enemy, not inviting it. And one of the things that begins to happen, and then, where is the love of Christ? I've not seen it much on flesh book. That's why it's called flesh book. I've seen people's soulish arena of opinion. And it's not good. And I'm telling you that the Spirit is grieved. He's saying, you know what? I'm not your fulfillment. That's why you got to go to flesh book. Does everybody understand that? I'm not your fulfillment. That's why you go to flesh book. You got to place your opinion and try to tell people what they need to do when you can't even do it yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Oh, happy days. No, verse 4, I'm sorry. What does it say? Everybody there yet? Love. L-O-V-E. This is not the love of the world. This is the love of God. Amen? This love, what? Suffers long. It does what? Suffer. That means it endures. Does everybody get it? It endures. You know, people make so many assumptions of something with no fact. And it causes nothing but stumbling blocks to people. Don't tell somebody about what you assume. You better be backed up by a fact. If it's not a fact, it's a lie. Love suffers long and is what? Kind. Kind. Hallelujah. That's enough right there, my God. Love does not what? Does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, puff up your own flesh. It's not what? Puffed up. That's where people turn into blowfishes. Verse 5. Does not behave what? Rudely. Boy, some people got an attitude. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. This is the love of God. It's not provoked. You easily provoked? easily offended, then you need to die more. You're still too alive, and God is not your fulfillment. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in what? Truth. Wow. Bears all things. Hello. Bears all things. All things. In other words, puts up with all things. You don't have to figure it out. God is not requiring you to. Amen? The only thing you need to do is understand what he's saying to you. Glory. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, puts up with. Love never what? It never fails. It never fails. This is the love of God. This is where God is your fulfillment. Nothing else. Nothing else. And this is where people go astray because they're allowing their emotions and all of their thoughts and all of their, what they feel and whatever, all of this other, their opinions to replace the fulfillment of God. And that's why God is bringing people through. Some people are going to go through much harder. It's waiting for them than what they realize. You think some of the stuff is rough now? Wait. You stay in that. Listen, God knows each and every one of us. Some of them has gone through hell already. Why? Because he's trying to change you. You can't blame it on other people. You can't blame it on circumstances. You're going through it because he's saying, I'm changing you into my image and likeness. You're either going to cooperate or I'm going to keep burning you. Everybody got it? Well, let's go to the teaching now. Isaiah 9. That was a narrative, I guess. It was the Holy Spirit narrative. Glory! So this is how we search ourselves out. Am I actually walking in the love of God? If I'm walking in the love of God, then he's my fulfillment. If I'm not walking in the love of God, he's not my fulfillment. And you can expect, what does it say? I was afflicted because I went astray. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm fine. No, you didn't. You went astray. Why? Because you went astray from God's love. Does everybody get it? Oh, happy days. Isaiah chapter 9. One of the things the Spirit said to me is my children are not walking in dimensional living. There's not enough dimensional lifestyle. There's still too much soulish lifestyle, too much flesh lifestyle. He said there should be a place of dimensional living as new creations in Christ. And verse 9, 6 and 7, is everybody there? Let's speak it. For unto us a child was what? Born. Unto us a son was given, and the government, which is his kingdom, will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, we know who this is. Amen. It's the creator of all things. And of the increase of his government, his kingdom, and peace, there will be what? No end. It will forever increase, increase, and increase. It will never stop. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. To order it and to what? Establish it. To order it and establish it. With what? Judgment. And justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The child is born from another dimension, or what we call another realm. Why? Now, I want to share something to you, because we're going to go a little sci-fi for a second. A realm is something that occupies space. A realm is something that occupies space. Are you with me? And it's measured, its distance is measured by time. Has everybody got that? A realm the kingdom of God, look at the kingdom of God. It occupies space. Amen. It occupies something. And its distance is unsearchable, but its distance is measured by time. Just write it down. You don't have to figure it out. You'll get it one day. The birth of this dimensional being called a child, who was a dimensional being, Jesus the Christ, came from another dimension, another realm, is the creator of all realms, who came on a mission to redeem what was lost by his creation, Adam and Eve. They lost it into the hands of darkness. And Jesus came to establish his rule, his kingdom and government from another dimension into this dimensional realm to become one realm with justice and righteousness. So what was his focus? To expand his kingdom. That was the focus, expand his kingdom. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? In John 3. That's why he's known as the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Dimensional living. Hallelujah. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is phenomenal. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again? When he's old, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus laughed, you know. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Why? Because it's been written. They could not understand it. "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Now, you got to understand, Jesus was saying, we. He was talking about him and the Father. Amen? Does everybody get it? We. "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I don't know if some of you remember, but when the Lord sent judgment on all the people, he sent serpents. They bit a bunch of people. Many of them died. Thousands. And he told Moses to mold a serpent on a stick, representing Jesus, who would take the curse of the serpent for all mankind. And anyone that looked on that got healed. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And what's the word "believe" mean? Follow. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved or redeemed. Prior to Jesus' coming, many visitations after the destruction of Adam and Eve and their mission by evil, not able to fulfill their mission, Jesus came in human form to fulfill the Father's request. But in the Old Testament, everything, you hear about a lot of visitations. Amen? Fire bushes burning, you know, things that happen. Cloud by night, you know, fire by day, cloud by day, fire by night, and so forth. God had many signs and wonders to reveal himself to his people. But they still didn't get it. So he had to come himself. So God the Father, out of his bosom, sent himself, called Son. Came into this realm. He had to be born into this realm and make the exchange so you and I could be born into his realm. Does everybody get it? It was the Father's request for the expansion of his kingdom of love, justice, and righteousness. But he knew that the resistance of the wickedness of the world and the rulers of this realm would stand up against everything he did. So he was bringing in new citizenship and raising up a military of warriors to turn the hearts of mortal humanity into dimensional living beings so that they lived a dimensional lifestyle. And this is what God is bringing us through right now. Why? So that we live a dimensional lifestyle, not a carnal, not a soulish, not an emotional, not a hype, but a real dimensional lifestyle. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that'll do it all. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God or dimensional beings. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, born of the Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory. And the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Creator came into this realm. Jesus came to give a way of escape of death, sickness, and poverty. Of death, sickness, and poverty to life, health, and prosperity. He said, I came to bring you life and life abundantly. But he said, look, this is not going to fall into place unless you're willing to follow my plan and enter my kingdom in his eternal presence. See, the Holy Spirit is the governor of the kingdom of God. He is also the presence of the kingdom of God. He is the presence of the kingdom of God and the governor of the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. Dimensional living. Acts 17, verse 22. Is everybody okay? Okay. Glory. Remember, Daddy is bringing his kingdom, whether you like it or not. you're in a way you're going to get pushed out of the way. He's coming to express himself through us. That's going to be the first part of it before he comes. In verse 22, let's speak it. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Oh, we got a lot of religion going on these days. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings." Only God can do this. "So that they should" what? "Seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him" and what? "Find him. Though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we do" what? "We live, move, and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are his" what? "We are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity, ignorance, God has overlooked. But now he requires and commands all men everywhere to" what? "Repent, return from the ways of the world. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in" what? "Righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Of course, when they heard this, they freaked out. They were amazed. He said, some of them mocked, some of them said, we'll talk about this again, and some said, "I'm following." But again, the creation born in darkness was me and you, and hope that there would be desire to come out of the darkness to seek him who offers eternal life and a dimensional lifestyle while we're here. A new nature was offered, which is upheld by the presence of the eternal kingdom, who is the Holy Spirit. And a temporary body that is now we know as the temple of the divine nature. Until the fulfillment of a new body comes. That is the end result of everything. That's when everything transitions completely. That's when it is completed and finished. When everyone is not only redeemed of the spirit, but redeemed of the body. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All of this is to have a glorified divine nature and a glorified divine body. And to complete the divine mission of the expansion in all realms of the kingdom of God. In every realm. This is not just, you know, it's not just here on earth. It's all over. All of his creation to bring a oneness and one kingdom. In Philippians 3. Oh, happy days. Dimensional living. It starts off with, you need to examine yourself whether you're in the love of God or the love of the world or the love of self. Amen? Because you can't live in that realm if you are still number one. If your opinion is still number one. That's why he said, who can follow him unless you what? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, right? All of that goes back to that. That is the rule of the spirit of life. I think many people forget that. When they get caught up in themselves. Philippians 3:17. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Brother, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. In other words, be careful of your associations. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Because they do not cross over. See, there's got to be a daily crossover for me and you. But if you truly cross over, then you express the love of God, not the love of the world. Not the love of self. Crossing over is a complete change in you. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Who set their mind on what? Earthly things. If you're an individual that's always setting your mind on earthly things, it's impossible for you to cross over. It's always interfering you. It prevents you from crossing over. For our citizenship is where? In heaven. It's in another realm. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of that realm. Who will transform our lowly body, hallelujah, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. I'm going to say that again. He's going to transfer our body into his glorious body. Does everybody get that? That's the final end. That's the fulfillment of redemption. Then the rest of creation will be redeemed. But first, it's the hand of God in me and you and his creation that is going to be transformed first. So we're going through it. In the crushing. New wine. What? New freedom. New power. Why? Because the kingdom is here. See, some people run. Fire, Lord, fire. Uh-uh, not here. Oh, I'm going through that. I want more presence. I want more goosebumps. I don't want the fire. I want the goosebump stuff, you know. No. Purification. Sanctification. See, it's too many people are still living in how they feel. They chase emotions, they chase feeling. They're not chasing truth. That's why they don't cross over. Oh, happy days. Is everybody okay? Glory. Hallelujah. Now, let's go a little further. Where are we at here? 17? We start that? Oh, yeah. Okay, we're cool. Let's go to 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will what? Transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the what? Working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We are a citizenship in heaven, another realm of space and time with no limitations. See, our carnality, our carnal thinking, our human nature keeps us stuck. That's why you must break through all the time. And it's only by his presence, his spirit, the presence of his kingdom in this realm that upholds us. In Matthew 12. Glory. If you love him, you'll express him. Not you. If you love you, then you'll express you. Hallelujah. Matthew 12:22. Somebody there? Let's speak it. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed. In other words, he had a multidimensional spirit of an entity of darkness in him. Blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit, the presence of God, which is the presence of the kingdom, then he says, surely the kingdom of God is upon you. Why? Because the presence of the kingdom of God was there to drive out darkness. Or how can anyone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Why? It is the presence of the kingdom. It is of the highest order of God. God the Father. It's his presence. Does everybody understand it? Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him when he repents. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of the kingdom, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Again, the purpose of the kingdom is upheld by the Holy Spirit, his presence, that exposes dimensional entities and drives them out. Many people are rejecting the escape into the presence of the eternal kingdom that is called blasphemy. Rejecting it. In Matthew 6. Dimensional living. That means that there's a dimensional lifestyle. Matthew 6, verse 8. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, do not be like them, like the world, like the Gentiles, like the unbelievers. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you what? Ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come from that realm, and your will be done in this realm as it is in heaven. Does everybody see that? You know, when they were praying this, they didn't understand it. You know, they didn't understand. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our sins, our transgressions, as we forgive those who sinned against us, our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation. Yes, put a guard over my heart, my mind, and my mouth. But deliver us from the evil one of his influence. For yours is the eternal kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And he goes on to say again, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, either will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Go to 31. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not what? Don't worry. Don't what? Worry. That's fear. Be anxious. Amen. Don't worry. Why? Because it will nullify love. See, it says perfect love casts out all fear. So fear, worry, anxiety, stress, getting in other people's business, that will nullify God's love. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall I put on Facebook? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles do this stuff. For your Heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the what? Oh, so many people bypass that, man. They just skip right over. Boom! They do a full somersault. Full gainers, you know. Anyways. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself, its own things. Sufficient for the day is our own trouble. Pray the kingdom into this realm. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you won't lack nothing. Does everybody get it? You won't lack nothing. Let me share something with you. Defeat is a sign of disobedience. Defeat is a sign of disobedience. Glory. He came to bring life and life abundantly. Now remember, what did he say? What good is it to have all the things of the world and still lose your soul? Remember, he said, many people come before me saying, Lord, Lord, this, that, whatever. I did all these things. I did this for you. I did this for you. I did this for you. Jesus is going to just kind of push that away and said, okay, what about me and you? When you still practice lawlessness, you were not living according to dimensional living. You're living according to the soul and your own desires and promoting yourself. You practice lawlessness. Does everybody get that? I'm telling you, God is tightening up right now. Glory. Third John. Listen, if he's bringing this on the world, he's bringing it on the kingdom first. And what does the Bible say? Everybody must work out their own salvation. There's not enough people working out their own salvation when they're trying to work out everybody else's. Ah, hallelujah. Glory. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whew. We wouldn't even need Facebook. Why? Everything will be added. Fleshbook. Glory. All right, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in a couple things, you know. In all things. That you may prosper in all things. Spirit, soul, and body. That you may prosper. With good health, with finances, with the anointing and the presence of God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul is converted. The way you think, the way you respond. All of these things, is are you expressing God or self? I'm telling you, there's so many people that have been around for a long time and are still not converted yet. They're still in the soulish realm. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came to me and testified the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Dimensional living is in truth. It's a dimensional lifestyle where your truth with yourself, with your thoughts, with your motives, with your attitude, with your emotions. You're in truth with yourself. Is anything I'm expressing or doing, is this the love of God? Dimensional living in the truth and converting the human nature into divine nature will take a willing heart, a readiness to do, and yieldness to obey the mind of God, mind of Christ. It will take a willing heart, a readiness to do whatever it takes, and a yieldness to obey the mind of Christ. Without those three, it ain't going to happen. Psalm 81. Dimensional living, that means dimensional lifestyle. It says that we're to hate evil and depart from evil. Amen? Glory. Psalm 81, verse 8. Psalm 81, verse 8. Let's speak it. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. If you do what? If you hear. Hear means to obey. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, especially the one that's in your mirror. Nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will what? Fill it, but my people would not heed my voice. And Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn. That's a fruit. I gave them over their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Listen, that means there's rebellion there. God will just let you go over to your own heart. Go ahead. Why? Because you miss what I'm telling you, he's saying. I'm telling you this, I'm telling you that. He's trying to give us a way of escape and direction all the time. So he let them go over their own stubborn heart to express all their emotional stuff. Thank God they didn't have flesh book then. We'd have a world of trouble. So I gave them over their own stubborn heart to walk in their what? In their own counsels. Well, this is what I believe and this is what I feel and this is me. When you see a lot of that, you know that that person is in a place of disobedience. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. But he let their enemies take them over. And turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission. Oh, there's a lot of pretenders out there. A lot of pretenders. They pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the what? Finest of wheat, that is word, that's revelation. And with honey from the rock, that's the anointing. I would have satisfied you. In other words, I would be your fulfillment. I would be your fulfillment. Not you. Not heed the voice of the presence of the kingdom of God to establish a dimensional lifestyle. And living a dimensional lifestyle will be an offensive to the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to close at 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that we're going to live a perfect life. We are going to go through stuff. Amen? But it means that God is always making a way of escape for it, no matter what. That's why he said all things are going to work to the good. How can it work to the good? But do you want to live the rest of your life working everything to the good? People are so busy trying to work something to the good because of all the crap they made. All the things they said. All the reactions, how many people they've hurt. They're still reaping from it. Some people are going to reap for the next 15 years and don't even know it. Oh, they might have repented of it, but their heart's truly not changed yet. 2 Peter 3:10. Thank God we won't be here in 15 years. Or I'm leaving. Praise God. Either come down and get us or we're coming up to get you. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's expressing the love of God. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? A new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, I'm going to say that again, looking forward to these things, and we're watching these things already begin to manifest. That's what you're seeing going on through the globe right now. Well, yeah. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Remember, he's coming for a blameless church, a bride. That's the warning right there. Many people got spots all over themselves because of their mouth. Verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you in also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But do what? Grow in the plan of escape. Know it. And the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever and ever and ever. A new heaven and a new earth taken over by the kingdom of Christ on this place. It's already started. Amen. It's already started and we're part of it. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed of revelation and impartation grow. Bring to remembrance who we are, that we may examine ourselves every day in the love of Christ and be positioned to express you.